What did you say to me? Your baby's slow? Your baby sister is slow. Well, women have that right. That's why God made them so pretty. Because they have the right to be slow. Us men are made to wait. That's the Lord teaching us patience. Men, just take it for what it's worth. I'm going to tell you right now. If my wife wants to be late, she may. They make them pretty, so we wait on them. That's right. That's good preaching right there. That's good preaching. I want you to take your Bibles quickly and turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to take a little detour off of Samuel. We're going to take a little detour off of Samuel and talk about the pride of Proverbs. The pride of Proverbs. We're just going to do a verse-by-verse study. And I want to, I believe every one of you know what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 has to say. We're going to go ahead and read those, though. And then I want to stop in verse 3. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now I say that, and this is one of my life verses. I love this verse. Just because it tries to keep a man humble, it tries to keep a lady humble, it tries to keep them in a position to realize that they are only what they are because of what he is. And you must understand these verses, because these verses are letting you know that the world is not going to agree with verse number 1 in chapter 12. The world is not going to agree with those things, because the world wants you to believe that you are better than what you are. The world wants you to believe that you're something special. To God you are, but I'm going to be honest with you, without him we are nothing. Without him, we don't have very much to offer. We must use him to do the things that we do. We must use him and rely on him. Now, if you look at that verse, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Many people have asked me over the years, what is the will of God for my life? The will of God for your life is found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. There it is. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. You may not know what that is right off the bat, but God will show you what it is throughout your life. It's amazing to me, though, that what happens is verse 3. What happens with man is coming up, and you go through 1 and 2, and everyone will say amen to those. Amen? Amen. Sure we will. Romans 1 and 2 will say amen to. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is amazing to me how often that those two verses are thrown at teenagers. It is amazing how often those two verses are thrown at young people. Renew your mind, young people. Get out of the world, young people. Do all these things. But let me tell you what verse 3 says. Verse 3 says, for as I say, through the grace given unto me to every man. Well, that's not a kid. Huh? How often have we had those two verses thrown at teenagers saying, teenagers, you better get your life right. Huh? And I think teenagers ought to get their life right. I really, really do. I think teenagers ought to come out from the world. I think they ought to put their iPods down for 10 minutes and read their Bible. I really do. But here's the deal. He doesn't talk about kids here. He talks about men. He talks about men. Look at this now. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, we're going to go through Proverbs here. Let me plug in my life here, because I can't stand behind this pulpit. You all know that. Man is a tricky creature. Man has been given this incredible intellect by God, by the way. Amen? We don't have an intellect on our own. God has given us everything we have. But man's a tricky creature.
He has decided that in his life he has this self-worth. And by the way, we are worth something to God. We must be. He sent his only begotten Son to this earth to die for us. We're worth something to him. Now, understand this. In your life, you'll have this sense of pride about you. But we really ought to study the Bible when it comes to that word. We really ought to study the Bible when it comes to that thought process. Do you know, I believe with all my heart, as I've studied this and I've looked at this, by the way, we're going to go over just some of the verses in Proverbs. You know how slow I preach. We're going to go over some of these verbs and these verses in Proverbs. But I'm going to tell you right now, God talking about pride is all the way through the Scriptures, from front to back. And as I've studied this very thing, I believe this with all my heart, pride is the number one problem we have today. I believe this with all my heart, that pride is the number one problem that we have today as every people. Do you know why gossip happens? Pride. You know, come on, preacher. What do you mean, pride? You know why you gossip? You gossip because you are believing that what you're telling that person is not making the person you're talking about worse. It's making you better. You don't gossip to make somebody look bad. You gossip to make that person look better than you. People that are gossips are, and by the way, I'm not picking on women here. I didn't say women. I said, we're talking about men too. Men gossip bad. Okay? They really, listen, the women that are the worst gossips, just amen. Anyways, I'm just playing. That was a joke. Don't meet me in the parking lot later. I'm faster than you. Now, why do you gossip? You gossip because of pride's sake, because you want to convince maybe even yourself that you're better than the person you're talking about. We're going to go through some verses today in Proverbs. Why do we have discussions? Why do we have arguments? Why is there one man on one side, one man on the other? Hey, listen, unless you're arguing for the things of God, you're arguing for pride's sake. Boy, this is not a pretty picture that we're painting about the word pride. Well, you ought to be proud of yourself. You ought to be proud of your church. You ought to be proud. We don't have anything in and of ourselves. This church is here because God gave us this church. This building is here because God gave us this building. Your clothes are on your back because God gave you those clothes, and God gave you the breath today to be able to go ahead and wear them. It's amazing to me how we come to this point of pride. Well, Brother Dave, you're not really encouraging me that much. That's why I don't like Sunday school, because I come and I'm not encouraged at all. Well, I got to be honest with you. Being a dirty, rotten, scoundrel sinner is nothing to be encouraged about. But then after you say dirty, rotten, scoundrel sinner, you can also say, but God. Because God in our lives, if we take away the pride and get ourselves out of the way, God can do amazing things through dirty, rotten, scoundrel sinners. If you look at these verses, and we're just going to go over them quickly, the Bible challenges you in Romans, and by the way, all throughout the Bible, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Boy, that's a tough pill to swallow. Not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. How high of yourself ought you to think then? How high must you perceive yourself? In the eyes of God, there's none righteous, no, not one. In the eyes of God, there's none good, no, not one. In the eyes of God, all of our righteousnesses are as... That doesn't give us a great picture of somebody. Boy, we can stand and thump our chest and say, we are men. We are ladies, boy. We've got it. And some of you ladies speak that deep. But praise God. You know, it's amazing to me that we live our lives in such a way as we will not allow God to work through us. God is strong through the weak. See, it's amazing. We perceive ourselves as strong. We perceive ourselves as having this great. You say, well, Brother Dave, you're not making me very happy this morning. You'd be much happier if you relied more on God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to start there, but we're going to back up after that. I'm going to try to go quickly through these, but you know how that goes. We quote this verse often very wrong. We leave out the middle and just close the two ends together, but that's not what the Bible says. I like to hear what the Bible has to say. Amen. If you look at this Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, the Bible says that pride does not goeth before a fall. It says pride goeth before something much worse than a fall. Pride goeth before destruction. You know what happens in pride? Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. I believe a fall happens and then destruction. And that haughty spirit's not as bad as pride. See, a haughty spirit starts to believe that it's better than it really is. Pride is all the way through. Pride is something that you can be warned to stay away from, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. That's what pride is, esteeming yourself higher than what you really are. I'm not picking on anybody today, by the way. This is one of the worst things that I've had to battle in my entire life is pride. One of the worst things I've had to go through in my life is trying to fight pride. Trying to fight and to have this belief that I'm better than I really am, or this belief that I'm the greatest thing ever. I'll never forget. You run the teenagers for a little while, pride goes away fast because teenagers are very good at exposing your faults. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm pleading to you as people. God works through the humble. God does not work through the proud. God works through the people that are of a contrite and broken spirit, not of the people that are so full of themselves that they can't let God work through them. See, when preacher preaches to you and talks about this runt from Galena Street, he never calls himself a runt because he was Big R, Big Runt. And he talks about himself being this man that God could never use. See, you must come to the point where God is bigger than you are. You know, that's not easy. It's not easy to realize that you must rely on God for everything you do. You must rely on God for the strength. You must rely on God for the ability. You must rely on God for the intelligence. You must rely on God for your daily schedule. You must rely. I'll never forget Mary Reinhart. She was the most humble person I've ever met in my entire life. The most humble person. She's a lady. Let me tell you, she was a lady, and I would to God we could get more of them. That didn't tickle your ears. I'm going to tell you right now, Mary Reinhart would sit in that parking lot right there and pray for her trip home. That's humble. We men get those keys in the car, we stamp on the gas, let's go. Very, very seldom do we pray to God, God, please get me safe to my destination. That's pride. Come on now, stay with me now. Do you know pride is at the root of every problem we have? Think about this for a minute. The love of money is the root of all evil. You love money because you're full of pride. Hmm? You know, it's amazing to me that we are able, and by the way, I understand that this is muddy water because you want to know that God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for you. You know, God knows that. But God's begging you and pleading with you and hoping and wanting and praying, oh, please, turn unto me. And if you look at what the proverb says about the word pride, pride goeth before destruction. If you want to see a man fall apart, you go ahead and follow the pride. Because you know it's true. You know it's true. You esteem yourself higher than you ought to think. And because of that, you won't allow God to work. And if you won't allow God to work, there's nothing left but destruction. I don't believe it's a very fast pattern. It can be, but I believe it's a slow one. I believe it starts in small things. I'll never forget, a preacher would tell a story about how he felt in his heart that he was a preacher that was as good as some of the other preachers that were out there. And it's amazing to me, you watch a man of God say, yes, I believe that I can preach, but God has the remedy. God will put me where I'm supposed to be. God will work through my life to have me where I am. God will open the door. God knows my address. Do you know what that is? That's humility. That's humility. If you come to a position in your life where you think you're better than somebody else, then in fact you've just proved that you're worse. When you look out at the masses, what do you see? When you look out at the bus kids, what do you see? When you look out at the folks that God loves, what do you see? If you see that we shouldn't run the buses because the kids are dirty and snot-filled, then you ought to be looking at yourself to come to the realization that you're full of pride. When you look at someone else and say, oh my goodness, they are so bad, then you're so full of pride. It's amazing to me how we come to this position in our lives where we think we're so worthy and we think we're so great and we think, oh, my Lord, Bethel would collapse if I were not here. Not one person in the world is irreplaceable by God. Pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. I'm begging you today, come to the realization that you must be on your knees begging God to use your life, begging God to work through you, begging God to do a miracle in your life, because of ourselves, we're no good. In your flesh dwelleth, man, you're smart people. By the way, you want to do something great for God? Let God do the greatness. That's profound, boy. Proverbs chapter 6. Not one time does God tell you to be proud of yourself. Do you know why they give out participation ribbons? The dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Honest to goodness, in my school, we will never give out a participation ribbon. Never. I don't even like second and third place ribbons, to be real honest with you. That's why silver and gold are such lackluster medals. Anyways, do you know why they give out participation ribbons? Because they want the kids to feel that they're something special. And you say to yourself, they ought to feel special. They ought to feel special. They ought to. Let me explain something to you. Was Jack Hiles Jack Hiles because everybody in the world was Jack Hiles? No, there was only one. Was Billy Sunday Billy Sunday because he was the only Billy Sunday? No, he was the only one. You know what's amazing to me is that he found himself at the altar. He found himself praying to God. He found himself trying to meet with his maker. He found himself trying to understand what God wanted him to do. Why? Because he knew he had nothing to offer of his own. One of the greatest statements that Dr. Hiles ever said, him and Joe Boyd surrendered to preach on the same day. Or within the same week. He says, I could never be what Joe Boyd is, but I can give you more Dr. Hiles, more Jack Hiles, than he can give you of Joe Boyd. And what did God do with the gift that Dr. Hiles gave him? I don't want you to look up to Dr. Hiles. I don't want you to get excited about him. He's a meat sack. He's a sinner. That's what we are. God makes us. God does something through us. God, and why do we struggle? Why do we fight? Why do we have these problems in our life? Because it's all surrounded by thinking of ourselves higher than we ought to think. We think of ourselves as we've got more. We think of ourselves, well, we've achieved this. We've got papers on the wall, certificates, degrees, and they're all wonderful. Great, I'm glad you got them. What an achievement. But God wants you to put them to use for Him. Romans chapter, or Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17. This passage starts out with verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Now, God hates.
Well, I thought in this world today, we weren't supposed to be haters.
No. The world's trying to tell you not to be haters. You ought to hate sin real, real bad. Why are two queers never going to get married up here? Because we hate sin. These six things doth the Lord hate. Look at verse 17. Is this not the first one? Is this not the first example he gives you of what he hates? A proud look. A proud look will always be followed. Look at this now. God is so good to show you these things. Me too, by the way. A proud look, a lying tongue. And by the way, you don't necessarily have to be lying to somebody else. You could be lying to yourself. a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. I've never shed innocent blood in my life. Oh, yes, you have. Oh, yes, you have. You've cut down Christians. You've cut down people. You've cut down the preacher. You've cut down others. Don't talk about you haven't shed innocent blood. They just haven't seen the blood. But there is one that does. God sees it. By the way, I'm not up here talking to you as someone that has not. I'm telling you, I've ruined more lives in my ministry because I couldn't keep my mouth shut than you could ever imagine. Well, you're a preacher. Well, one thing preachers can't do is keep their mouth shut. No, I want to help you. I want to help you today. I've done this to people. I've talked about them. I've ruined their lives and ministries because I was not able to keep my gossiping mouth shut. I wasn't able to stop. And by the way, not everything I said to other people about them was false. It's amazing to me. This is one of the real trippers for me because I've done this. And it's hilarious. God must be so disappointed.
Well, if it's true, it isn't gossip.
Isn't that funny?
Well, if it's true, it isn't gossip.
It still makes wounds. And they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. The talebearers will tear each other up. Now, let me help you out a little bit. I'm not after anybody today. I'm just trying to warn you about pride. I'm just trying to tell you, do you know why some of our pews are empty? Pride. Do you know why people don't come out for soul winning? Pride. Do you know why people don't go out and tell people about Jesus Christ? Pride. It's amazing to me. Say, it's not pride. Why don't you tell somebody about Christ? Because I don't want to be embarrassed. That's pride. I'm afraid. That's pride. Afraid of what? You're afraid that somebody's going to look at you, call you a Jesus freak? You could be called worse things and probably already have. It's amazing to me. We live our lives thinking that, well, I'm too good to go soul winning, and I'm too good to hand out a tract. I can't do that because I don't know how to unloose my tongue. Well, God's got a great way of unloosing your tongue. You're not supposed to go out with your words anyways. You're supposed to go out with His. A proud look, the list of things that the Lord hates. A proud look. I think of that as looking at a dirty bus kid. I really do. Looking down your nose and believing that they ought not be here. That's what I look at as a proud look. A look at somebody coming in at VBS. Well, you don't belong here. You don't belong here. Your shorts are far too short. Hey, I believe in a dress code. But I believe in getting a person saved before you worry about the exterior. More souls are lost because they're worried about how a person looks and how they dress. If you don't think that a person that dresses and looks like a harlot is not welcome here, you're crazy. They are welcome here. Let me help you out a little bit further. Let me take that a step further. If a queer couple comes in here, let me help you out. They're welcome, but they're full of sin. And we want to preach that out of them, and we want God to do a great work in their life. But who are we to say they can't come in? Who are you to say that an alcoholic can't walk this aisle to the altar? Who are you to say that a person that's a heroin addict can't find their way up here? Oh, they may not be like you, but by the grace of God, you would be like them. You say, well, you're compromising. You're preaching like a compromising preacher. No, you ought to hate the sin and love the sinner, but really, really love them. We muddy the water and hate the person. Don't talk to me about homosexual crowd, by the way. I've got more right to preach about homosexuality than anybody in this room. My mama was a homosexual for a decade. I hate that sin. It ruins lives. But I'm not so prideful. I'm not so prideful that my mama wasn't welcome to hear about the gospel and the salvation that Jesus Christ has. I wasn't so prideful. By the way, now she's saved. Isn't God good? You say, well, God does save those wicked sinners. That's pride. Because I'm a wicked sinner that God saved. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look.
Well, I don't really like Pastor Dave's preaching. I could do better than him.
Let me help you out a little bit. Let me explain how this works. If God saw fit that you were better, you'd be here. You say that's full of pride. Oh, no, no. Believe me, God put me here because no man would. It had to be God. I had to rely on God. When I first came here, I didn't know what John 3:16 was. I thought it was just a sign at the Super Bowl. With a rainbow hair guy. I didn't know what that was. I had to look it up. I had to look it up. And I'm going to tell you right now, I was green as green as green. The only reason I got an opportunity, because the Lord saw fit to tell him that you ought to let that man have an opportunity. I'm here today because of God's good graces, not because of a talent that I possess. It's amazing to me how we get so out of whack. We get so, by the way, you get older, you start to get less prideful. I'll tell you why. Yesterday, I did two of the greatest dumb things in my entire life. And by the way, that is a statement in and of itself. I put out a one call. How many of those have we done? 8 million? I put out a one call, and I didn't finish the call. You know how at the end, preacher, you got to put in all the numbers? I didn't put in all the numbers. I just, okay. Okay, please come out for softball at 5 o'clock. I know it's late notice, blah, 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 blah. And I hung up the phone. And I got to work, and I guess, well, we'll just get ready for softball. Did anybody get that call? My wife did. She was in the room. Getting older, you start to realize you just forget some of those things. Then I go out to try to play softball. Set myself at center at shortstop. The ball goes to my right, 4 or 5 feet. And I get to there and come to the realization I'm not going to be able to bend all the way down to the ground because I'll get over center. If I get over center, I'm going to mess my face up real bad. So I pulled up, and the ball went under my glove. I'm getting older and fatter. Coming to the realization that pride starts to fade out. But let me help you out a little bit, and we'll continue. I have only gone over one verse. You knew I was going to get there, though. Listen to me. Don't let lack of pride, well, I don't want to have pride. Don't let that come down to a place where you believe in your life that you are worth nothing. Well, preacher, you've just been telling me that I'm worth nothing. No, you are what God needs. See, you're worth nothing in and of yourself as a man to go forward saying, I am man. You are worth everything if you let God use you. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So we ought to be about our Father's business. Why aren't we about our Father's business? Because we still haven't come off of the pride yet. Now, I want you to continue on in your scriptures. Let's look at the next one in Proverbs. Look at chapter 8. Verse 13. I think the Bible's pretty clear about this, by the way. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, if you're willing to tolerate the evils of this world, then you do not love the Lord. Is that not true? I'm just asking you to read this with me. I think the Bible's pretty black and white on this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Look at this now. Look, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. God hates pride. God hates arrogancy. God hates a froward mouth. All these things are listed out for you as a Christian as a warning from God that you ought to hate these things with him. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth. Do I hate. Look at verse chapter 11. Verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. I don't think this is being painted a very pretty picture of pride. I don't think, this is just Proverbs, by the way. This is just in Proverbs alone. There's lots of verses with this word in there. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. You want to find wisdom? Go find a person that's not proud of themselves. Huh? You want to find wisdom? Find somebody that needs God. Because they understand that God has given them everything. Why don't we pray? Think about this for a minute, Brother Mike. Why don't we pray? Do you know why we don't pray? Pride. It's pride. Do you know why you don't pray? Because you don't need God. Huh? That's pride. It's pride to not need God. It's pride to think that we can do it. It's pride that we think we don't need God right there. It's pride. It's pride. It's, and God hates pride. Do you think it was, I know I keep coming back to this, but it's amazing to me as our preacher lay for 14 days in an induced coma, because I believe that if he stayed 24 more hours on that machine, he would have went to be home with the Lord. It was pride to think that the men could do it. It was pride to think that the doctors could do it. It was pride to think that they could bring him out. It was pride. It was pride. It was pride. Then we got rid of the pride and walked in with the Bible. We got rid of the pride and walked in with the prayer. We got rid of the pride and walked in with God. And by the way, that's gone away since. It was pride to think that we could build that building. It's pride to think that we can do it by ourselves. It's pride to think that anything's going to, God's going to have to do it. It's pride. And then here's the thing. We got ourselves prideless. We got ourselves to the point where, this is what we said over and over and over again. Man can't do it. We're out of options. Do you know what's thrilling to me to watch men, myself too? We will exhaust every option before we'll call on God. We call on God 24 hours later. He's out of his coma, breathing on his own. Well, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. That's why it went work, because it was a big thing. You know, God's not interested in your pride and the little things either. God's not interested in your pride. He hates it. He hates the fact that you think you've got something to offer outside of him. He hates the fact that he thinks that you think that you've got talent that wasn't given to you by him. He hates it. He hates it. Why? Because he gave it to you. Do you ever like watching a kid, you buy him a brand new toy for Christmas, and they take that toy and throw it off to the side, or they take that toy and it breaks 24 hours later. You know why? Because they didn't care about it. You get mad. Why? Because they didn't let you know how great it was. They didn't let you know that that was so nice of you to get it for them. They didn't let you know how great that was. They didn't let you know why, because they were so full of pride that they deserve this because they're your kids. You know, God is a lot like that with us. He gave us what we have, yet we act like we did it. Hey, I worked hard for what I've got. God gave you legs to walk. I worked hard for what I got. Yeah, and God gave you the intelligence to do that job. I worked hard for what I got. Yeah, and God gave you every stitch of that, and you won't give him 10% back. I knew you'd throw money in, preacher. I knew you'd do it. Look at chapter 13. By the way, this is the Bible I'm reading here. I'm not reading a self-help book by Dr. Spock. I'm not reading a self-help book by Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil is. Chapter 13 and verse 10. Look at this now. Only by pride cometh contention.
You know what? I didn't come here to have my toes stepped on. Only by pride cometh contention. I didn't come here to have some young whippersnapper tell me my life. Only by pride cometh contention. I'm mad at the preacher. Only by pride cometh contention. I'm mad that you're not singing the right hymn. Only by pride cometh contention. Boy, I'm going to make a t-shirt that says, only by pride cometh contention. It's amazing to me that we live our lives thinking that we know better, that we are better, that we have something that someone else... Let me tell you something. Only by pride cometh contention. Why? Because our way is the right way. Every way in a man's eyes is right. You're an idiot if you think that in your eyes it's going to be wrong. But only by pride cometh contention. I'm just reading Bible. That's all. I'm just reading Bible. But with the well-advised is wisdom. How do you get well-advised? How do you get well-advised? I'm not going to read my Bible because you've got pride. Because the paper's better. Because Sports Center's more informative. I couldn't care less what Kevin Durant and all them are doing. I think he's home right now, for that matter. You know, we live our lives thinking that we don't need God. You can tell me the batting average of the top 9 Indians, but you can't tell me John 3:16. That's pride. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. By the way, Proverbs is a really, really good book for training. Training's hard to stick, though, on us. Chapter 14, verse 3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. So if you're filled with pride, your mouth is foolish. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. If you're prideful, you're a fool. Be proud of yourself. Be proud of your kid. Let me tell you something. God gave me my children. I really shouldn't be proud of them either. I mean, I'm happy that my daughter Tiffany's writing these songs. I'm happy that my daughter's doing well in school. I'm happy that my son is a relatively good athlete. I'm happy that they're growing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm happy. But I'm going to tell you, I ought not be proud, because my children, listen to me now, my children could be anything. They could go tomorrow and go the way of the devil. They could go tomorrow and do the wrong thing. Yes, they could. I better pray and have God try to take care of them. Have God do through their life something great, because it's not because they've got a dad that is a preacher that they're doing right. Kids do what they want to do. And it's prideful for me to think, boy, hold on to your hats now. I'll put a disclaimer at the end of this statement. It's pride to think that my parenting skills are going to make my children good. But I'm going to use all the skills that God has given me to do my best to make them good. Don't you run out on being a good parent because of what Brother Dave just said. I can't do anything with them anyway, so go do whatever you want to, kids.
That's not Bible. I've got to be a good dad. I've got to do my best to raise my kids right. But if I don't do my best to raise my kids right, God's got to take care of it, otherwise I'd be too prideful. We only got through half of these. One more. Chapter 15, verse 25. Verse 24 says, the way of life is above to the wise. That means God takes care of the wise. The wise seek God. Now, that he may depart from hell beneath. If you get saved, that's pretty smart. Amen? If you're not saved in here, you're dumb. You're a fool. God's died for you. He's given his only begotten son for you. Look at this next page. Next verse. The Lord will... Who will? the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. But he will establish the border of the widow. God will take care of them that rely on him. God will destroy the ones that don't need him. That's pride. He will destroy the house of the proud. Oh, come look at my house. Come look at how wonderful it is. Come look at all the great things that I have done. God looks at them as but dung. God looks at all of your righteousnesses as filthy rags. What we've done for Christ is what's going to matter. Get yourself out of the way. You're not that good. God wants to work through you. God wants to do something with your life. Let God do it. By the way, we have to let God do it. Otherwise, he can't. A lot of things God can do. Through him, all things are possible. But see, that's the point. Through him. If we don't allow through him to happen, nothing's going to happen. God wants to do something with you. I know he does. But we've got to get pride out of the way. We've got to get pride out of the way. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Brother Phil, could you stand up and lead us in prayer, please?